Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you on a Wednesday evening as we reach 11 o'clock on the East Coast, 8 o'clock Pacific time. Tomorrow at this time, we'll have the Bartometer and a special programming note. The Bartometer is moving to Tuesday nights. Starting on September 2nd. So check your watch. We're about 5 months away. But the Bartometer, come football season, will be moving to Tuesday nights. Big news that we broke on the show last night. I know it had everybody in a tizzy. I was busy today. Actually went to a baseball game. So there were, you may not have seen it in like the news or on social media, any of the trades. I was unable to give an interview, and I had so many requests, but I wasn't able to provide any commentary on it. So I hope to be able to connect with all the many interviewers, and maybe you'll see something elsewhere later in the week. But for now, just keeping it in-house that the Bartometer moving to Tuesday on September 2nd. Of 2025. One baseball game in action right now. The Dodgers are losing. The Dodgers are currently losing. They are playing the Braves. It's 5-3. They've got one out, bottom of the eighth. Just got a guy on. So we'll see. We'll see. The Braves have not won yet this year. So it's got double intrigue here, this game. The Braves have not won yet. They played the Padres, who stayed undefeated with another win today. They're 7-0. And the Dodgers are 7-0, looking to go to 8-0. And I am so high on the Dodgers. Whatever over-under you want to set, I think the books at the beginning of the year at 103, I'll take the over. You want to make it 105, I'll take the over. You want to make it 110, I'll take the over. The record's 116 wins in a season, I'll take the over. I'm riding so many Dodgers overs. Until they have like a three-game losing streak and it all comes crashing down very high on the Dodgers. Been an interesting start to the baseball season. A lot of talk about the torpedo bats. And, you know, it takes maybe a minute to get back into that daily routine. Anthony Volpe hit another home run, just by the way, one of the poster childs of the bats. It's fourth of the year, so if he's available in your leagues, maybe you want to pick him up. He's batting 200, but he's got four home runs on the season. And yes, this is a show, and I am a person that still believes that batting average counts as a stat. Okay? I'm not just going straight to OBP and everything else, OPS, slugging. I sometimes want to know when they get to the plate, how many times do they get a hit? And part of the torpedo bats isn't just power, it's making more contact. So interesting that he's got four home runs, Volpe, but only is hitting 200 on the season. So baseball is in action. You've got March Madness that's wrapping up. Women's games on Friday, men's on Saturday. I'm super into the UFL, which I still don't think I say those three letters. You know what the hell I'm talking about. But I'm also very much into the NBA. And I caught up with an old friend, radio buddy, tonight. And we were talking, and he had asked me a question that I get asked sometimes. He says, do you find yourself, if you're doing a national show, and we are on nationally across the country, many places around the world pick us up. I believe we are number one currently in the Heard and McDonald Islands, I believe. They were in the news today. I believe we're number one there with the Penguins. So we are nationwide. You can find us on the Odyssey app as well, Sirius XM channel 375. But you just ask, well, what's different? And I said, I think the biggest difference. I mean, it's not like I'm not. I like all this stuff. You know, he's like, oh, so you have to watch Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. I'm like, I mean, that's I do that anyway. Well, what about NBA? Do you got to like watch the NBA? I love the NBA playoffs. I maybe will choose to watch the NBA playoffs over, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers. And so I'm not as connected with the local nine as maybe I have been in the past. But I'm big into the NBA. I'm big into the NBA. I love the NBA. And I love the NBA playoffs. And these couple of weeks that we're in right now are kind of weird in the NBA because some teams are tanking and some teams are resting. And teams aren't really sure, like, do we want the three for this matchup? Do we want the two? Guys are hurt. Guys get shut down. There's some games like that last week of the season. It's like, who are these people? My goodness. But even last night, we got some insanely great games last night with some insanely good performances. 52 points from Steph Curry. Ooh, and 12 of 20 for three. And then added 10 rebounds and 8 assists and 5 steals. Alex had brought it up earlier with Nikola Jokic, the performance that he had. Jokic had 61 points, 10 boards. And 10 assists, joining Luka Doncic and James Harden as the only players in NBA history to have a triple-double and have 60 or more points. Incredible performances. And as I was going home last night, Linnell Willingham was on, and he'll be on again tonight. And I was enjoying some of the stuff he was talking about regarding these performances. And he had said, we're in the best era of the NBA ever. We're in the best era of the NBA ever. And I thought, when I heard him say that, I thought about everybody who would wildly disagree with him. And I don't know if the people that disagree with him are disagreeing with him because Linnell's wrong, and I would tend to agree with Linnell. I mean, what these guys are able to do now is incredible. But it is weird, and I caught an article today from David Aldridge, which was perfect timing because that comment that he had last night stuck with me, and then to see this article from David Aldridge, like hammering that point at The Athletic today. In it, he says, no serious person can argue the skill level of today's NBA players isn't vastly superior to those of 10, 20, 30, and 40 years ago. More players can do more things with a basketball than ever. They dribble better. They handle it better. They pass better. They shoot it better and from a greater distance. With the exception of maybe Wilt Chamberlain, there's never been anybody with the size and skill set of Victor Wembanyama. Kevin Durant quoted in the article, I think we're at the peak of basketball, in my opinion. David Aldridge going on to say, so if basketball is so great, why aren't we celebrating? Why does it feel like, as with most everything in American life these days, we are perpetually arguing with one another, balkanized when it comes to our NBA fandom? Many in the current generation of star players and coaches think the modern game is just fine, and that those who bring up concerns are simply haters, jealous of the money and attention and fame of today's stars. While many of those who critique today's game think the modern player is a spoiled, overpaid, too sensitive diva who needs to strap up and play 75 plus games as most stars did back in the day and ignore the recommendations of his team's very well paid and hip deep medical staffs, that push for load management to preserve the careers of the game's best players. Why do so many bemoan all the timeouts, the challenges, the load management, the avalanche of threes? Why is it that the flagship show inside the NBA does more to maybe get you to dislike the league? But then yet, the TV contracts and the new deal, I mean, they've never done better in this regard. It feels like to me, and nostalgia is a crazy thing, and I suffer from it quite a bit, where you think things were better at a previous time. I feel like with nostalgia, just as a concept on a whole, I think you think things were better because you knew less things. That's what I think about nostalgia. I think the more that your brain takes in, the more that's harder. That's hard. I talk a lot about with the news, like the news, the just new, any news, real life news, but also like the current avalanche of sports news, to keep it just the sports, the stuff we learn every day, the amount of information we take in every day. And I often think about how we used to just read the newspaper in the morning and then we'd find out what's happening. But it's 24 hours. And if there's not something happening in the news, then there's someone creating content and becoming news. I think a lot of people in NBA media over the last week at least took some stock or a realization like, hey, this LeBron James versus Stephen A. Smith thing, we can't be doing this. This is bad for the sport and for us. This is no good. So at least there was some realization and some stock taken in that. But that's where we're at. It's a constant stream of that, and that maybe that ecosystem maybe contributes. I would say that the average person looks at the NBA with the same lens and with the same viewpoint as the average person looks at Saturday Night Live. Because what is the main opinion you always get with Saturday Night Live, the show that's been on for 50 years? Anytime there's a viral clip, anytime like it's in the news for something, read comments on a website, on social media. Saturday Night Live hasn't been good since the 90s. Saturday Night Live hasn't been good since the 80s. Saturday Night Live was only good in the 70s. What I've realized with that argument, the Saturday Night Live argument, isn't that that's actually when you thought Saturday Night Live was the best creatively, the best aesthetically, the best with talent. When you think Saturday Night Live was the best was when it had the biggest impression on you, which is probably when you were somewhere from 12 to 20 years old. It's just a very interesting coincidence that usually if you ask somebody, when was Saturday Night Live the best? It was when you were a teen or in your young 20s, when you were impressionable and in your formative years. And sometimes Saturday Night Live is bad. This is a show they put it together within a week. And we expect brilliance every week. And sometimes they hit it. And I take any of the political sketches and commentary out of it. There are quality sketches happening every week. I'm telling you. It's funny. I'm not going to be ashamed for liking Saturday Night Live. But when was it the best in my life? Well, I really enjoyed the Spade, Farley, Sandler, Hartman years. Oh, and guess how old I was during that time? I was between 12 and 20. And I feel like that's where we're at with the NBA. That's where we're at with the NBA. You, whenever you thought Saturday Night Live was the best, that's also when you thought the NBA was the best. No, it was better back. It was better back when these guys played 82 games. It was better back, you know, with Jordan. And then people that are a little younger now are going to look at today's NBA and say, it was better with LeBron on the Heat or the Cavs in the Warriors series. And someday there are people that will, you know, be 50 in 30 years and they'll look back and say, oh man, we had Jokic and Wembanyama and Giannis and Luka. Oh, and it was the greatest that it ever was. It's not a perfect league. I think people get upset when a team shoots 62 threes in a game. But then I go back and watch some of these games from the 90s, and it's like, okay, you're shooting 17-foot mid-range shot. Just make a three. Or go back to the three-point line if you're going to shoot it that deep. Oh, it was more physical. Does that mean it was better? It was more physical. Does that automatically mean it was better? There's things that I wish, like the replay stuff and some of that drags on. And then we get all swept up in March Madness. And then people that don't like the NBA try to say, oh, college is where it's at. College is where it's at. College. If I'm gonna watch basketball that's not NBA, I'm gonna watch high school. Cause at least these kids have like played together and like know who's gonna be where. College is just a ragtag group of transfers and fifth-year seniors trying to get hot for seven games in March. And the replay at the end of those games, these end of these final four games are unwatchable. College is not better than the NBA. It's worse players playing worse. So I see this article. I hear this commentary. I'm gearing up for the NBA playoffs. I'm giving you a Bart Winkler Show warning. We're going to be talking a lot about the NBA playoffs. So, listeners, affiliates, Penguins, if you don't like it, we've got plenty of great football content on demand that you could check out at any time. You know, I'll give you some replayable segments the next couple of weeks. You know, you can always revisit earlier in the week with our Torpedo Bad segment. We've got plenty of dad corners with Marco Belletti. You can go back and listen to plenty of Bartometers. But when the NBA playoffs come, we're going to be talking NBA. And we're not going to ignore the draft. We're not going to ignore baseball. We're not going to ignore the NHL playoffs. We're not going to be solely an NBA playoff show. But I get deep into the NBA playoffs because I love the NBA and I love the NBA playoffs and I love this time of year. And it's great drama. Teams go up, teams come back. It's thrilling stuff. I'm enjoying the NBA now as much as I ever have. And I think we need to take more stock of these performances. I think like with last night, and maybe it's just like, where do you watch it? When do you know it's going to happen? But Jokic had a 60-plus point triple-double last night. In a game where Russell Westbrook blew it on both ends of the floor, and then now tonight they're playing, and he's trying to make up for it. He had 30 points at last check. Steph Curry had an all-time game with 52 points and then was incredible in every other stat department. The Milwaukee Bucks last night shot a franchise record 68.9% over the Suns, the highest percentage of made shots in a game since 1998. There's a lot of good competitive basketball being played. I think many people just have to look within themselves and say, do I want to like it or not? Because the NBA is giving you a great product. I'll champion it. The NBA is giving you a great product. And sometimes not every game's on national TV. Sometimes you got to seek it out a little bit. But if you like basketball, you should love the NBA. Understanding there are flaws, understanding not everything is perfect. Nothing is. One of the biggest like pop culture things that I like is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And boy, do I have complaints. Daredevil's awesome, though.
Did you watch that episode last night?
It's awesome. I watched it last night.
Yeah, it was good.
Very good. No spoilers.
No, I won't say anything.
Very good. I watch it when I get home. Because it comes out like right before the show starts. And then I get home and then I watch it at like 3 in the morning. I can't go to bed. When a Marvel thing comes out, these movies that come out, I go, they open on Friday. I go to the first showing on Thursday at like 2
o'clock. Yeah, I go on Thursday as well. It's more so because I just don't want to get spoiled because I'm on Twitter like all the time and I feel like I'm going to get spoiled at some point. So
you will?
Yeah, I mean, I saw your tweet about a Brave New World, and I agree with it.
What did I say? It was good.
You said that it was a sequel to Incredible Hulk, and that it was a good idea.
Yeah, I like that. People are like, "Oh, this is like a sequel to the Hulk." Yeah, that's fine. Oh my God, people in Marvel are like, "Oh, loose ends. They never get tied up, and then they tie up loose ends." And people are like, "Oh, I didn't mean those ones, dude. I meant like Harry Styles in Eternals, dude."
Oh yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
All right, well. Anyway, pro NBA, we'll get your thoughts. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. Good to be with you again here tonight. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Sports show of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Been talking some NBA this hour, basically asking, why don't you want to like it? Why don't you want to like it? Excited for the NBA playoffs, in which we'll be watching games and talking about them and commenting, and that's part of the fun with this show is live, instant reaction to things that happen. It's what makes some of the shows during the football season so fun. So tonight, you know, there's a few NBA games on. The Thunder and the Pistons, kind of interesting. Thunder 92-78 right now. 2 minutes left in the third. Maybe I'll throw the end of that on, but it's a 14-point lead. But the game I was the most interested in was the Braves and the Dodgers because the Dodgers are 7-0 and the Braves have not won yet, 0-6. The Braves have a 5-3 lead in the seventh inning. And so I threw the game on. And then in the seventh inning, the Dodgers weren't able to do anything. So, okay. Take a 5-3 lead to the eighth inning. Braves scored their runs in the first and second. Dodgers been trying to crawl their way back throughout the night. Well, they tie the game in the eighth with a Max Muncy two-run double. And then Braves don't score in the ninth. And the Dodgers are up. And it's Rossiel Iglesias on the mound. One of these top-line closers for the Braves, looking for their first win of the season. Shohei Ohtani is at the plate with one out. MLB Network, Matt Vasgersian on the call.
Ohtani has faced Iglesias as an opponent in four at-bats. He's 2-for-4 with a walk against him. Off the end of the bat and pretty well hit. Harris back at the wall. He leaps and it's gone. Ohtani's won it. Wow. First pitch walk-off dinger.
Again, courtesy MLB Network, and this is why I'm taking the Dodgers to win more than the 103 games that the over-under clocked in at. This is why you give me a number, I'm taking the over. They have multiple ways to win. They showed you that tonight. The Braves fall to 0-7. And the two teams that the Braves have had to play, the Padres are 7-0. And now the Dodgers are 8-0. The Braves get a much-needed day off and then possibly a much-needed series, with all due, against the Miami Marlins. They are going to start their home opener Friday with an 0-7 record. So interesting scenes there in Los Angeles, which will probably say a lot throughout the playoffs in the NBA with the Lakers. And the Clippers going to be in some action. We'll see if the Clippers can get in the top six again. They've kind of been bouncing around. The West should really come to a finish. And just going based off of an article I saw David Aldridge had with The Athletic, Linnell Willingham last night was talking about how, you know, this era of the NBA is the best it's ever been. Alex Azarm with us. And I know you're a big NBA guy. And I'm enjoying it more than ever. Certainly there's flaws and there's some games that, you're like, okay, but there's more talent. And I think that what's going to happen is we're going to look back on this era and say, man, I don't know that we enjoyed those guys as much as we should have. And I think that what I'm just saying is, can you at least, you know, try to start? If you're on the fence about the NBA or you liked it better when you were a kid or whatever, I would come back and try to at least check out these playoffs, because I think we really got, with all this historic stuff every night, I think we're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, no, I watch the NBA every night. I mean, I'm currently watching this Pistons-OKC game. And yeah, there's just so much talent, young talent. I mean, the upcoming draft class is going to be stacked, in my opinion. So that's going to be more talent coming through. And I think it's more so that people just want to see more. It's weird because people want to see more physicality and like what it was in the 90s. But then you see what happened in the game a few nights ago where the Pistons
with
and the
Detroit,
Wolves,
yeah,
where they just sort of fought and a bunch of ejections happened. But then you just hear from that like, oh, this shouldn't be in the game. This is dirty. And then so like there's no in between from those fans that want to see. It's really like I'm pretty sure you said it earlier, where it's just nostalgia based. Like you just admit that you miss the players from back then and move on.
I really think I think back of, you know, my childhood, and I was talking with a buddy, you know, growing up in the 90s, and we say, you know, there was nothing like 90s football. Now football today is probably as good as it's ever been, but the 90s is when we were kids. And the 90s is when we collected trading cards and action figures. And, you know, Sundays, everything just seemed new and different. And we would then go play football. And I'd be Emmitt Smith, you know, that kind of stuff. And I do think that the NBA suffers from a nostalgia problem. I likened it to how people view Saturday Night Live, where you think Saturday Night Live was at its best when it was, you know, 50 years ago, or whenever you were growing up. And things that stay around for a long time and that you're able to compare eras, like most media, you know, some shows go on forever. The Simpsons just got extended for another 4 years.
And Family Guy.
And Family Guy. And American Dad is coming back to Fox.
I did see that. I saw that, yeah. Because it was TBS originally, right?
It was Fox, then TBS, now back to Fox.
Right.
So that's, and Bob's Burgers was the other one, we should be fair to all of them. But while there's different eras of basketball, and I guess Simpsons, there's not like different eras of The Sopranos, you know? There's not like different eras of Breaking Bad. There's when there's different eras of stuff, you grow up and you watch it differently. You can watch Breaking Bad at any time you want. It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same, and you'll probably process it the same as you would have if you watched it when it first came on. One difference could be week to week versus if you binge. But in terms of the stories, none of that changes. But with the NBA, you always have something to compare it to. Like, you can't compare Breaking Bad in the 2000s to Breaking Bad in the 90s. You can compare it to different shows, but you can't compare it. And maybe we need to look at it that way. Like, these are just different shows. It's just a different kind of basketball. I do think a lot of it does get based in nostalgia. 888-710-4ISN. What's up, Joe?
Hey.
North Carolina. Hey. Oh, hey.
Yeah, I do, you know, love the NBA, and I loved it back in the 90s and the 80s. But one thing that's very different is the calling of people carrying the ball. Joe, you know, I had a friend that hadn't watched any basketball for years. He watched the game and said, oh, I guess they don't call carrying anymore. It used to be that there was a niche for, you know, a Nate Archibald or a Isaiah Thomas because they could get around with the ball and not carry it. But now they don't call carrying. I mean, it helps with Jokic. I mean, he could hold the ball up a while and dribble and, you know, wait for the play to open up and he could pass. But that's my only – I mean, I do think they shoot three-point shots better. They're better shooters than they used to be. But they also – that tough defense they used to let them play back then, would they could play tougher defense on a three-point shooter. So the rules have changed, and that's changed the game a lot. I think that someone like Larry Bird could have – or some other tall players could have done some of the things that Jokic does if they would have let him carry the ball like they do now.
All right, so carrying. Joe, thanks for the call. The carrying of the ball is not what I thought anybody would call up with. But that is what Joe and his buddy have noticed as a change in the NBA. The thing that would bother me, and I've talked about this with other sports, is that these guys now get paid so much money and – you know, way back, especially with football. When Josh Allen signed his contract, it was what, 6 years, 300 some million. Jim Kelly once signed a 6-year extension for $33 million. So I would kind of be mad about that as a player. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update on some of these games, NBA and MLB, with Marco Belletti.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. We're talking some NBA. We're talking about how you like it versus how you don't. I think a lot of it is nostalgia-based, where we like to think of happier times in our life, or at least more impressionable times. And I compared it to Saturday Night Live. When was your favorite era of Saturday Night Live? Oh, when you were a teenager? Wow. What a shock. Those of us that grew up with Carmelo, very happy today to see that he was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025, drafted third overall by the Nuggets in 2003. Kind of bounced around a little bit. More better than anything. I mean, he was in the Olympics. He was a beast. So he was good. He won the title at Syracuse. So again, this is overarching, but I think it's deserving. Interesting stat, by the way, on Carmelo Anthony. Since the start of the 2014-2015 season, so think back 10 years ago, and think how long Carmelo's been out of the NBA. It's been a while. When's the last time that you saw him suit up on a court? He's 40 years old. He last suited up with the Lakers in 2022. But since the 2014-2015 season, Carmelo Anthony has played in 470 games, including this season, all of it. When the 2014-2015 season started till now, Carmelo Anthony played in 470 games. Why am I using that year specifically? That was Joel Embiid's rookie season. He has played in 452 games. So, anywhere I can get a shot on Joel Embiid, I will take it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Robert in Annapolis, Robert.
Good evening, Bart. The NBA popularity, I suspect, peaked in the 1980s. You were a mere lad then, but that's when Larry Bird...
Just a wee little boy.
That's when Larry Bird and the Celtics were doing battle with Magic Johnson and the Lakers for that decade. The NBA had been down in viewership up until then, and they kind of brought it back, and then continued on with Michael Jordan and the run with the Bulls. But that's really the best era for NBA because that's the last era I followed. Hey, rough night for
And how old were you then, Robert? How old were you around those times?
I was born in 1952, so I was in my 30s, so it wasn't like I was...
Okay, all right. Still an impressionable time.
I started following the NBA in the mid-60s with the Bullets, my friend, so I'm much older than most of your callers. But a rough night for Johnny in Atlanta. I hope he's doing well. I assume he's a Braves fan, but my God, who would have thought that would have happened in the ninth inning? But anyhow, hey, you mentioned the Bartometer switch. Was that a director from the corporate suits or maybe a caller called in about that?
Did you not listen to the show the minute after you called?
Of course I did.
You changed it. You did it. You had a suggestion, and we took you up on it.
Where's my NIL? Where's Robert Annapolis' NIL for his contributions to this show? Hey, let me comment quickly on the Bengals. Yes, they are a playoff contender, but they are not a Super Bowl contender. They've gone 9-8 for the last 2 years. They haven't done anything in the offseason to improve the team. Yeah, they threw a lot of money at players. They are a couple receivers that they already had. You said you liked the running backs room? They were like 30th, I think, in rushing. They're a one-dimensional team. They have a great passing offense, and their defense was bad. You have to have a good defense and have to be able to run the ball to be a true Super Bowl contender. So you may want to rethink that one, my friend, but thanks for taking my call.
Robert, thank you as always. That's right. The Bartometer, which is on Thursdays at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific, is moving to Tuesdays starting on September 2nd. So we'll call that Liberation Day for the Bartometer. Sorry. The Bengals. Okay, real quick on the Bengals. I brought them up last hour. Trey Hendrickson, we've been hearing from him throughout the night. He is like, can I get paid now, please? They have been 9-8 the last two seasons. One of those seasons, they were without Joe Burrow for six games. Last season, I'm looking at as an anomaly. The same argument that we've used for the Chiefs, especially Carlos, who says they're not going to make the playoffs. The Chiefs were 15-2 last year, but were they a 15-2 team? Or were they like a 10-17 that won 15 games? I think there's nuance to that, but I do think there's a difference. With the Bengals, I think they were a 9-8 record. But were they a 9-8 team? I think they were better than that. I think the defense was bad in ways that almost cannot be replicated or duplicated. I don't feel like they will be that bad. And I do feel like bringing everybody, like they have Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Oh, he could go to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl. Joe, who's the fourth best quarterback? Who else is in that group? Well, Joe Burrow. Well, is he going to go to the Super Bowl? No. I think you got to give some credit and pay some attention to what he is able to do. So I'm in on the Bengals. I'm not going to be talked out of that. I am in on the Bengals. In the same way that last year I said the Detroit Pistons, when they had five wins, will make the playoffs next year, and they're gonna. In the same way I said the 49ers won't make the playoffs. And they didn't. In the same way, I said the Eagles would blow out the Chiefs. That's my level of confidence. Feel good about the Cincinnati Bengals. One other NBA update is the Minnesota Timberwolves. That sale is going to go through. So Glenn Taylor had owned this team, and Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, they had a group that wanted to buy it. Taylor was like, yeah, I'll sell it to you. And then the Timberwolves got good, and then it seemed like he could maybe get more of a value for it. And then he's like, I'm not sure that I want to sell anymore. And it was like a three-part sort of transaction, and then Taylor's like, well, actually, you were delinquent, and it was really weird. And then they'd be at playoff games, and they'd all be there, and they'd like sit down the row from each other. Well, now the sale's going to go through for the agreed $1.5 billion price that they reached back in 2021. So they agreed to a sale, and after negotiating about it for 4 years, they are now going to follow through with the very same sale that they agreed on. Pretty fun stuff. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.